It was a very carnal church, babes in Christ, and they were very, what's the word? Carnal, yes. That's not the word I was looking for, but they're susceptible. That's the word. They're very susceptible to satanic lies and to bad doctrine because they were babies in Christ, and they hadn't grown like they should. And so they were very susceptible to false doctrine. Well, as we go into chapter 15, the issue in this chapter is the resurrection. And the problem is stated in verse 12. If you'll look down there, this kind of gives you the problem of why he's even writing this chapter about the resurrection. Look at verse 12. It says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So there were people that were in this local assembly that had infiltrated that were going against Paul's gospel, and they were teaching that there's no resurrection of the dead. You look down at verse 35. Verse 35. "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" And so this is the issue that Paul's dealing with. He's dealing with objections to the doctrine of the resurrection. And he begins the chapter, if you remember, in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, by explaining the special message, the gospel that Christ had committed to Paul to preach. And so he reminds them of the gospel that I preached, and you received it, and you're supposed to be standing in it. And he says in verse 3, "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Paul got it from Christ, and he'd given it to them, and they had received it. Well, he goes through and he explains that gospel, that he was buried, verse 4. Verse 4 says he was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, Paul is going to begin to detail the eyewitness accounts of those who had personally saw the resurrected Christ. Look at verse 5. He says, "And that he was seen of Cephas." Now, who is Cephas? Peter. "And then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." So many of those 500 were still alive. "After that, he was seen of James." That's James, the half-brother of Christ, okay? He was one of the sons that Mary and Joseph had after Christ. She was a virgin when Christ was born, but then she had children later on, naturally. And James was one of those. "Then of all the apostles." Verse 8, "And last of all, he was seen of me also," Paul said, "as one born out of due time." And we'll discuss that in length later. But for right now, here's the point Paul's making right here. And you need to get this. You need to get this. The point Paul's making here is that in that day when Paul wrote this letter, you could actually find and you could talk to people who were personal eyewitnesses of Christ after his resurrection. You could go and you could talk to people, many people, hundreds of people who had seen him. They could tell you about it. They'd heard Christ. They had eaten with Christ. They had spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, you know, the greater part are still alive. You can go and talk to these people. And then Paul goes through the order of the people that saw him in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. And it's amazing how this harmonizes with the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, everyone's at a different level of spiritual growth, and some of this may be a little simplistic, but we understand that there are four accounts of Christ's life and his death and his resurrection. And those four books are what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Sometimes we call them the four gospels, okay? But they are telling you of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. Are they written in chronological order in the sense that Matthew begins with his birth and he goes to a certain point in his life, Mark picks it up at that point, and then Luke picks it up where Mark left off, John picks it up, and then John ends with the death, burial, and resurrection? Is that the way it works? No. The way it works is Matthew goes from his birth all the way through to his resurrection and ascension. Mark does the same thing. Luke does the same thing. John does the same thing. So because it's not written, like I said previously, sometimes they get a little confusing. because each of them are giving details of Christ's life and his death and his resurrection. And a lot of times, Matthew will give the same detail over here that John did, or Mark will give the same detail Luke did, but then other times, a detail may only be written down by one of them. You know, you're getting four different accounts. They don't ever contradict, okay? But some will bring out a point that maybe another didn't, or maybe one of them just simply knew something or was there, and the other one that wrote it wasn't. And so, in this lesson, what I want to do tonight is I want to examine the chronological order of Christ's appearances after his resurrection. And I believe this is necessary. This is important. Paul did it, and we need to do it. And we're going to see how this harmonizes with Paul's order here in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, when I get all done, I'm going to kind of lay out a timeline, and I'm going to show you. I wish I'd have done a chart, but I didn't. But I'm going to lay out a timeline, and I'm going to help you to see this. Now, go to Mark 16, okay? And we're going to look at several verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I put a lot of time in studying this because it can really, really get confusing. And I finally just had to just print out all four of them and have them all laying on my desk at one time because I was flipping back and forth. And so, you know, we're going to go through this, and I'm hoping it's going to help you to just further strengthen your faith in what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. Now, the question is this. If someone was to ask you who was the first one to see Jesus after he rose from the dead, who was the first one to see Christ, what would your answer be? Good. Many of you knew. That's excellent. Mark 16, verse 9. It says here, we'll go ahead and read it. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared, what's the next word? First, to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She was a woman that Jesus had cast seven demons out of her, seven devils. And after that, she became a devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was the first one to see him. You say, how did it happen? Go back to verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him, anoint his body. And very early in the morning, very early, it says, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. So now here's the scene. Several women go to Jesus' tomb early in the morning. Mary Magdalene's among them, Mary the mother of James. And as you cross-reference Scripture with Scripture, some of the writers just say that there were a lot of women. There were several women. There were more than just these. And they go to anoint Christ's body with spices. When the ladies get to the tomb, the stone's already rolled away. It says there in verse 3, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. So they're thinking, now how are we going to get in there? And so they get there, and they say, well, the stone's already been rolled away. Now, Mary Magdalene, immediately, when she sees this, she immediately runs to go get Peter and John and for them to come and see the tomb. Now, go over to John, and I'll show you that. John chapter 20, okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to be going back and forth here. John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Notice this, verse 2. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John who's writing, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. Now remember, John is the other disciple, and he's writing the book. He wanted you to know he outran Peter. I love that, don't you? That's just good stuff. Now, look at verse 5. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. You say, Well, I don't get that. And that is a little difficult, to be honest with you. It says he saw and believed, but then it turns right around and says, but they didn't know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So, you know, there's two ways to take that. That John didn't know it until he got there, but then figured it out. Well, he's risen and believed that truth. Or some people think that maybe that when he got there, the fact that he saw and believed, in other words, he believed what Mary Magdalene had told him. But either way, doesn't really matter because ultimately he did believe. Look at verse 9. It says, verse 10, then the disciples went away again, where? Under their own home. So now here we are. Mary Magdalene, a group of ladies, go to the tomb. The stone's rolled away. Mary Magdalene immediately takes off, goes and gets Peter and John. They come running. Okay, they come and they see the tomb, they leave and go home. Now after this, Mary Magdalene's outside the tomb weeping when Christ appears and he talks to her. It's very touching. Look at verse 11. It says, but Mary, and again, this is Mary Magdalene. Don't confuse it with Jesus' mother here. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and see the two angels in white, sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. That's a touching scene, isn't it? You know, she doesn't know it's him, and then when he says her name, she knows it's Christ. And, you know, just a couple of side notes here real quickly before we move on. Christ did not need the angel to roll a stone away for him to get out of the tomb. Okay? Jesus arose with a glorified body. He wasn't limited by time or space. In fact, if you read on in John, you find out that they're behind closed doors. The door is shut for fear of the Jews. And all of a sudden, Christ just appears in the room. I mean, he went right through the wall, the door, it didn't matter. He had a glorified body that wasn't limited by time or space. So, you know, when Lazarus was raised up, remember when Jesus raised up Lazarus from the dead? When Lazarus was raised up, he was raised up with a corruptible body like he had before he died. Christ is the only one who rose again and who possesses immortality. That is, he was raised never to die again. Lazarus, he died again. Christ did not. He had a glorified body that just stepped right out of those linen clothes in the empty tomb. He just walks right out. So the angel rolls the stone away, not so Christ could get out, it's so other people could get in and see that it was empty. Okay? Are you with me on that tonight? You say, what's that business about touch me not, for I've not yet ascended? Well, Christ had not yet gone up to the temple in heaven, that heavenly temple where Hebrews 9 talks about him sprinkling his blood on that mercy seat of heaven. He had not gone up and performed his high priestly function yet with his blood. And so therefore he says, touch me not. Okay. So after Mary Magdalene sees Christ, okay, then what happens? Well, then Jesus appears to that, remember the group of ladies that came to the tomb? He appears to them. Go over to Matthew 28. I'll show it to you. Matthew chapter 28. And again, each gospel writer, we just kind of get some different details, and then you got to try to piece it all together. Okay, we're still right here on the first day of the week. It's still morning. And look with me at Matthew 28 here. Now, Here's the timing of this. It's a little bit unclear, and I don't think we will know for sure till we get to heaven. But either after Mary Magdalene's encounter with Christ there in the garden, or even possibly this could have happened while she was talking to Christ, two angels appear and explain the empty tomb to all the ladies. Look with me at Matthew 28, verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." Verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Verse 9 says, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came, and they held him by the feet, and worshipped him." Now, what right away strikes you as different than the Mary Magdalene scene? They touched him. Mary Magdalene was not allowed to, see? So, like I said, we know this had to have happened after Mary Magdalene's encounter with Christ, okay? The two angels, either while Mary is having that encounter with Christ, or right after that, these two angels explain to all the ladies about the empty tomb. And then, boom, man, I mean, woo, lickety-split, they're off, and they're going to go tell the other disciples, the 11. And while they're on their way, you know, I mean, just a chug-a-lug, and they're running, Christ appears to them and says, "All hail." And now, at this point, he's already ascended to heaven. He's already performed his high priestly duties, because we see here the ladies hold him by the feet and worship him. You say, why did he appear to these ladies? I'm sure the reason why is so they could validate Mary Magdalene's testimony, because the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So as Mary Magdalene's going to go tell the disciples, these ladies are going to come and they're also going to confirm that they also saw Christ to his disciples. Okay? So you've got, we're still early in the morning. We've got Mary Magdalene's encounter with Christ. Then he appears to these ladies as they're running to go and tell his disciples. So what's next? Go over to Luke 24, Luke chapter 24. We haven't been in Luke yet. So let's go over here to Luke 24. The ladies run quickly. They go to tell the 11. Remember, Judas Iscariot's dead. So they go to tell the 11 disciples about what they had seen, and they are met with skepticism. Look at Luke 24, verse 10. It says here, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women. See how it just says other women? We don't know how many. That were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now look at this, verse 11. And their words seemed to them as what? Idle tales. And they believed them not. So they go, they tell the 11, and immediately the 11, here these ladies are trying to tell these knuckleheaded guys what they've seen, okay? Amen, ladies? And they won't listen. Ladies, things haven't changed much, have they? Sometimes guys just won't listen. They're just pig-headed, you know? And so they say, "Hey!" Now, remember, Peter and John's already been there once, and they saw the empty tomb, but then they went home. Oh, okay, and they went home. Well, now they come, and they say, "Hey, it's not just that the tomb's empty." Really? Well, what else? "We saw him. We saw..." Wait a minute, you saw who? "We saw Christ with our own eyes." Mary Magdalene says, "Yep, I saw him." These other ladies say, "Yep, we saw him. She's not lying. He's alive." Well, in verse 12, it says, "Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher." Now, you can confuse this, I think, with the first time. Evidently, as soon, I mean, boop, bright and early, when they see the tomb's empty, Mary Magdalene goes and gets Peter and John. They come. John outruns Peter, goes in, they look, they go home. Now these ladies come and say, hey, we've actually seen him. So Peter says, I'm going to go again. So he goes chug-a-lugging again. And verse 12 says, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So this time, Peter is really scratching his head, and he's wondering what in the world is going on. Now, at some point after this, that day, first day of the week, resurrection day, at some point that day, Jesus personally appeared to Peter. Here's how we know. Luke tells the story here in Luke 24 of two men that were on the road to the city of Emmaus that same day, on Sunday. And they actually had a conversation with Jesus Christ, not knowing it was Jesus. It says there in Luke 24, verse 13, and behold, two of them that went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And then it says, verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And then, you know, they talk about, you know, he asks them why they're sad. And they say, man, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know what's going on? Verse 19, he said unto them, what things? They said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our own rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since those things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they what? Saw not. And then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And as they drew nigh into the village whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening. Okay, so now we're in the evening time of Sunday. And the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. He goes in and eats with these guys, okay? And again, they don't know who he is yet. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And then verse 31 says, their eyes were what? Opened. And they knew him. And wouldn't you know it? As soon as they know him, what does he do? He vanishes out of their sight. Woo! Isn't that a neat thing? And so they have this encounter with Jesus. And after they realize that it's Jesus, they head for Jerusalem, and they find the 11 disciples, and look at verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, here it is, the Lord is risen indeed. But now look at this phrase. Did you ever notice that? And hath what? Appeared to Simon Peter, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. That's, you know, after they realize it's Jesus, they go to Jerusalem, they find the 11 disciples, and the Lord had already appeared to Simon Peter before he ever appeared to these two men. So sometime in the afternoon of that first day, Jesus went and sought out Peter. It could have been when Peter... Remember when Peter went the second time to the tomb by himself? Maybe that's when he did it. By the time they get there, he's already appeared to Simon Peter. And maybe Simon Peter's told the other 10 already that he's seen Christ too, and now these two come along, confirm his testimony, and they say, we saw him. And they said, as he appeared to Simon. Now, folks, this is very special, given the fact that Peter is the one that denied Christ three times before his crucifixion. Jesus came to Peter before any of the others. What a gracious Savior we have. He is a gracious Savior. He's a loving Savior. He is a God of grace and love. And Jesus Christ went and he sought out Peter before any of the other ten. And taught, I don't know what he said. We don't know much about it. This is all we know. But we know that Christ went and talked to Peter. So what happens then? Well, that evening, okay, the two men on the road to Emmaus are telling about their conversation with Christ. And then guess what? Guess what happens that evening? Guess who shows up? Jesus Christ shows up in the room. And he eats with them and converses with them. Look at Luke 24. You're already there. Look at verse 36. And as they thus spake, these two men, they're with the 11 now. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Are these guys knuckleheaded or what? Verse 38. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? I love that. Got anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Wait, I tell you one thing. I'm going to follow the example of Jesus. And when I get home tonight, I'm going to look at Denise and say, have you any meat? And I happen to know she's got a big old fat London broil in the crock pot at home. And we're going to go home and we're going to have Philly cheesesteak sandwiches tonight. Hey, men. Have you any meat? And Denise is going to go, yes, I thus do. We like to talk in King James English when we're at the house. But anyway, I'm just being silly. So where was I? All right, so he eats. All right, look down at verse 43. It says, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets. Hey, I remember this verse this morning? He says, all the things that are written of me in the law of Moses and the prophets, and where else? In the Psalms. That's that verse I referred to this morning. That's why I told you a lot of the Psalms are prophetic. They point to the first coming of Christ. Many of the Psalms point to his resurrection. Many of the Psalms talk about his death. Many of the Psalms talk about his second coming to the earth. We saw that this morning in Psalm 9 and 10. The Psalms really are just a whole lot about Jesus. And you don't realize that when you study them sometimes, but they are, and we see proof of it right here. Go over to John 20. Go to the next book, John 20. And we have another record here of this first encounter that the 11 have with Christ. But there's one thing to note here about this first appearance. Look at verse 19. It says, then the same day at evening, so we're in the evening now on Sunday, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. So, I mean, they're behind closed doors, scared to death that they're going to be next on the cross, okay? And it says, notice, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. This is the same account we just read in Luke. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. But now look down at verse 24. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So we learn here in John's gospel, we didn't see it in Luke, but John made note of it. John made note that they were all there but Thomas. Where was Thomas? Your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea where Thomas was. The Bible doesn't tell us where he was. But we do know this, that when the other 10 told Thomas about what they had seen, and by the way, I've heard preachers use the illustration and application that you ought not ever miss church because you never know what you're going to miss. Amen. I don't know how You know, but that, I guess that's a pretty good application. You know, I want to be where things are happening, amen, for the Lord. And I don't want to miss out on something that the Lord has for me. And Thomas just wasn't there. He was missing out. And so Thomas missed out on the very first appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. Thomas missed out. He wasn't there. You know, and I wonder sometimes in my mind how many times Christians will miss church. And little did they know and may never know that that was just the message that they needed. That was just the one they needed. But they were depressed or discouraged or whatever, and they stayed home. And they thought, I'm too tired. I'm not going to go. You know, I got a headache, whatever. And it was just what they needed. In John 20 here, it says in verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Thomas, we've seen him. But he said unto them, good old Thomas, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Boy, now that's faith in your fellow man, amen. It'd be like you and Rob and Tommy and Rich coming to me, and all of you saying, we saw this, and me saying, no, you didn't. I won't believe it until I see it. And that's exactly what happens. Thomas says, I won't believe it till I see it. He must have been from Missouri. I'm from Missouri. Y'all know what they call Missouri? The show me state. That's right. Because you got to, the old expression is stubborn as a Missouri mule. You know, and that someone from Missouri won't believe it until they see it. And so they literally, they call it the show me state. And because they say that people from Missouri are as stubborn as a Missouri mule. Now, of course, I'm not that way, but a lot of people, I guess, are from Missouri. I guess Thomas was from Missouri because he said, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. Well, okay, let's fast forward. We're done with the first day of the week. Let's go 8 days later. 8 days later, all right? And you're in John, right? Okay, John 20, 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas. Somehow you kind of figured he was going to talk to Thomas. Amen. He said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. You know what? Thomas didn't do too good there at the beginning, but boy, he sure came through there, didn't he? Isn't that a great verse? That is a great verse. By the way, if a Jehovah's Witness comes to your house, and of course they have their own translation that they have translated, and it's not a very honest translation. But it's interesting, and it could be they've changed it by now, but I know a few years ago that verse is there. And they forgot that one, okay? And so you go to John 20, 28, would you all say that's pretty clear? So, you know, they don't believe Jesus is God. They believe he was just a prophet, and he was maybe a God, but he wasn't God in the flesh. Well, Thomas bows down, worships him, and calls him my Lord and my God. Now, if Jesus was just a good man, okay, if that's all he was a good man, and somebody fell down at his feet and called him Lord and God, what would a good man do? If somebody came to me and said, oh, Pastor Dan, my Lord and my God, if I'm a good man, what am I going to do? Get up off your feet. Quit that business. I'm not God. Don't do that. But look what it says in verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. He commends Thomas for his faith here. So we're 8 days later. Now, shortly thereafter, and we don't really know how long, but shortly thereafter, there's seven of the 11, that go fishing. Look at John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, okay, James and John, and the two others of his disciples. And then Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. He said unto them, he hollers out to them out there on the boat, children, have you any meat? They said, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, he said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Old Peter, wasn't he a character? I tell you, you just got to love the guy, don't you? I mean, they're in the ship, you know, and he's out there just in the buff out there fishing, you know, and there's seven of them out there, and Jesus comes, and they, well, all right, so they cast their nets over there, and they can't even contain all the stuff, all the fish, and then all of a sudden, old John, it's like, you know, he's the cerebral one, it clicks, and he says to Peter, who just, you know, standing there in his birthday suit, and he says, it's the Lord. Ah! He puts his coat on and dives into the sea, you know. He's just a character, you know. And so if you go on through this, it's kind of neat. It says here, verse 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye've now caught. Simon Peter went. Now that's neat to me, that while they're out here dragging in the fishes, they come to land. Jesus has already got him a fire going there. Jesus has built a fire. He's got some fish on there cooking and some bread for him. He's already got it prepared for him. Isn't that neat? Our Lord and Savior has that food ready. And then he said, bring the fish which you've now caught. Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 150 and three. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, what did he say? Come and dine. Oh, I love that. Come and dine. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Remember that old hymn? You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. I can't remember the rest, but anyway. And it says there in verse 12, I think that's kind of neat. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, giveth them, and fish likewise. It says, this is now the what? Third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now, if you cross-reference with this, Acts chapter 1, I don't have time to go there, but in Acts 1, it says, it gives the idea there, Christ had made numerous appearances to the apostles after this. In that 40-day window, before he ascended back into heaven, there was a 40-day window after his resurrection, and he taught and instructed them for 40 days, according to Acts chapter 1. So this was the third time that they had seen him, probably somewhere, you know, the other was 8 days, so this is somewhere right after that. And then he makes numerous appearances over the next 3 weeks, okay, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. He makes numerous appearances to them and teaches them, instructs them. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and I'm done. Let's go back to our text and let's go here. Paul's not giving a complete listing of everybody, but it's interesting that he does lay out for us the order here, where he confirms what we read about the two men on the road to Emmaus, about how he was seen of Simon Peter, because he also says, look at 1 Corinthians 15:5, and that he was seen of who first? Cephas. So that just confirms that personal appearance that Jesus made to Peter on that afternoon of his resurrection. Okay? And then he says, then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. And then he says, verse 7, after that he was seen of James and then of all the apostles. So at some point after his appearance to the 12, Christ makes an appearance to 500 believers that have been gathered together at one time. He appears to them. We find this out from Paul. Then we find out he appears to James, his stepbrother. James was a non-believer during Christ's earthly ministry, but later would become leader of the church at Jerusalem and write the book of James. And then he appears to all the apostles during that 40-day window that he walked the earth. You see, there were men who were apostles, but were not one of the 12. Barnabas is an example of a man who's called an apostle in Acts 14:14, but he wasn't one of the 12. Okay? Paul was an apostle, but wasn't one of the 12. An apostle was simply a person who had seen firsthand the resurrected Christ and then demonstrated the signs of an apostle. And then Paul says in verse 8, last of all, he was seen of me. And of course, we know in Acts 9, many years later, he appears to Paul. Now, listen, let me lay this out real quickly, okay? Now, look up here and I'm done. Here's the timeline. Early in the morning, resurrection morning, okay? The ladies go to the sepulcher, and Jesus makes an appearance to Mary Magdalene first, okay? Then, later on in the morning, he appears to all the women that had come with Mary. Then, later on that afternoon, he appears to Peter. Then he appears to the two men on the road to Emmaus. Later on that evening of his resurrection, he makes an appearance to all the 11 except Thomas. So on that very first day, he appears to Mary Magdalene, the other ladies that were with her. He makes a personal appearance to Peter, and then the two men on the road to Emmaus, and then that evening to the 11 minus Thomas. 8 days later, he appears to the 11 again with Thomas. And then shortly thereafter, he appears to those 7 that are out there fishing on the sea. That's the third time he appeared to them. Then you got the 40-day window where he makes an appearance to over 500 believers in one meeting. Then he appears to his half-brother, James. And then he appears in that 40-day window to all the apostles. And then Paul says, last of all, to me. Acts chapter 9, Paul's persecuting the church. He doesn't believe the testimonies of these people who had seen the resurrected Christ. But then Christ appears to Paul from heaven. And he said, last of all, he was seen of me. As one born out of due time. Now, what does that mean? We're going to look at that next week. What does Paul mean when he said he was as one born out of due time? We'll study that next week, okay? I hope you enjoyed that tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.